Saga Egmont presents The Glory Years by Mink Elliott, read by Alex Rivers. To Sam and Max, the sunshines of my life. We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time. Four Quartets, T.S. Eliot, no relation. 1. And menopause can fuck right the fuck off, Kate sniffed. I mean, who gets pimples on their wrinkles and wrinkles on their bloody cankles? Portia laughed at this, with rather a lot of unexpected force, as it turned out, because, at exactly the same time, she also farted. Gallantly, neither Seamus nor Kevin batted an eyelid. Kate, however, snorted in delight and chuckled hard. So much so, her pelvic floor let her down, as per, and she crossed her legs, cursing herself for not putting a tenor lady in her knickers earlier. Once you hit uncertain age, she thought, it's either flatulence or incontinence that'll get you. Often both, simultaneously. She loved how incongruous it was, though. The gorgeous, sophisticated, goddess-like Portia letting rip like that. Just goes to show, she thought, you can take the ladette out of the 90s, but you can't take the 90s out of the ladette. Confident Portia slapped her slim, shapely thigh and laughed along. But the two men seated at the table now swapped nervous glances. Was it okay to laugh? Would that render them insensitive? Pathetic incels? Sexist pigs? Raving misogynists? And what the hell were cankles, anyway? They nodded slowly at each other, as if to give each other the go-ahead, and haw-hawed cautiously, shrugging their shoulders and pouring more wine into their own glasses. Kate continued to cackle, safe in the knowledge that, while, yes, she was indeed in possession of calves as thick as Doric columns, there were, as yet, no wrinkles on them. Earlier that day, she had spotted a line encircling each cankle and had been suitably mortified. But she was quickly relieved to discover they were merely marks left by the too-tight trainer sock she'd been wearing as she tried to tackle that old Davina McCall exercise DVD in her front room again. But at least with the cankles remark, she'd managed to totally trounce the competition in the who's looking oldest game. Although, to be honest, as Kate always tried to be these days, what with trying to be a good role model for the kids and all, it was never really much of a contest. Everyone knew that Kate, with a penchant for anything with astronomical levels of fat, sugar and salt, and two kids under her undo-upable belt, had always looked way more haggard and older than her best friend, childless Portia. Kate tilted her head, looking fondly at her, remembering how the pair had fared so differently nearly 20 years ago now when they both read French Women Don't Get Fat and adopted its cool approach to eating and drinking. It had been written by the impossibly suave female CEO of Verve Clicquot, who advocated walking everywhere, turning the TV off, quaffing expensive French, Verve Clicquot anyone, champagne, taking a few bites of buttery croissants and popping a couple of squares of dark organic chocolate into a perfectly lipsticked mouth every now and again. It was all about being sophisticated and indulging your desires every so often, pushing the pleasure principle, the idea that a little bit of what you fancy does you good. Of course, Portia, who already looked like a French noir movie star by the time she was 3 years old, had no trouble staying slim and looking all leggy and louche and glamorous, whatever she did. The French woman diet involved very little change for her, being blessed as she was with lustrous hair, porcelain skin, legs up to her armpits, and an award-winning gold medal pout. Kate, though, quelle catastrophe. Just a few centimetres shorter than Declan, her 12-year-old son, she had always been a total stranger to such alien concepts as moderation, control.